of shepherds, you draw the hearts of kings. And even as a baby, you are changing everything. You called me to your kingdom, no lips could speak. And even as a baby, you were changing everything. And now we are awaiting the day of your return, when every eye will see you as heaven comes to earth. Until the sky is opened, until the trumpet sounds, the bride is getting ready, church is singing now. Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Come, our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest.
We're juggling this morning. I don't think Miss Deborah's here, but we're having children's church. Miss Beth, no children's church this morning. All right. Well, who's taking the offering? If you're taking the offering, if you'll come on down, we'll do the offering. All right. Bobby Boyd, you in here? He may be outside. All right. Brian, will you pray for our offering?
Must have cut out some songs.
Sorry.
Get up here and sing it again. I didn't get to hear it. Twyla and I were back there. Twyla says, I wanted to hear them sing. And I said, well, maybe they'll stay after church and sing. Nothing better than to run late because it doesn't matter. You don't keep time. This church doesn't have a clock back there in the back. And every church I've ever had that had one, it ended up getting broken. Wait, I don't know how that happened. Kind of suspicious. But anyway, it's a great day, great week. Y'all excited about Christmas, right? Everybody? Y'all looking like, I don't know. All right. Well, let's get to it then. As we come here to celebrate the birthday of Jesus, I thought it'd be good for us to consider the message that the angels brought on that first Christmas night. So if you will, look over it. We're going to look at one verse. It's a very familiar story, so we don't need to necessarily read the whole thing. We will on Christmas Eve. But on Luke 2, verse 10, we have the message pretty much summarized here. And we want to look at that. Luke 2:10. And you know the setting. The setting is that there are some shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks. And an angel appears to them. And then after a while, a whole bunch of angels appeared to them. But the message was this. Look at it in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you'd settle me down, and I pray that you would just help us to see your word this morning and see our responsibility to your word. Give us a love for your word and give us a love for you, and help us to see what you have for us this morning. And we pray this in the wonderful and beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. There's a lot in this little small verse, and it's still a message that the world needs to hear. And not only this, and this is something here at Christmas that you don't hear a lot about. We should, because this is our time for Lottie Moon and foreign mission offering and thinking about spreading the word of God all over the world. We should think about it, but of course we are so involved in ourselves and what we want that we often forget that we, write that word down, we, W-E, for those of you who struggle spelling, are the ones who are charged with sharing this message. Just as the angels were God's messengers on that first Christmas night, so we as Christians are God's messengers to a lost and dying world. And what is our message? It's the same message that the angels had. Fear not. Fear not. It's funny that in the Bible, most of the time, that the first reaction that people have to when they see an angel is fear. Now, I don't understand that, Cater. I mean, you're sitting out here minding your own business, and all of a sudden this being appears levitating in the air. Would it scare me? Would it scare you? It would. And not only would one angel, not just one, but many angels appeared later. And every time in the Bible when an angel is mentioned, the first reaction is fear. And I understand that in this case especially, but I think it kind of is funny because I think I watch some of these movies they make about angels, and Touched by an Angel and things like that, the old show. And it's very unrealistic because very rarely do people really get scared. But people in the Bible do, usually the first thing that an angel will say is these two words, fear not. And why are people afraid of angels? Well, I think it's because we're all sinners. And when we see an angel, we fear that we are going to get what we deserve, the wages of sin, death. Now, there are two meanings in the Bible for that word fear. The first meaning is the common understanding of fear that we have here in our culture, and that is being, write this word down, alarmed or scared or frightened. And if I say, "Are you fearful?" that's pretty much what most of us would think about. But the second meaning that is used more often than not in the Word of God, but not so commonly in our culture, is to be in awe, A-W-E, awe, which means to to rever or honor that which is to be feared. We see something and we see that it is so much better and bigger than we are that we are in awe of it. We are just amazed by it. That's another kind of fear. Now, in the case of the shepherd and the angels, I think it was probably both. I think it started off with them being frightened. But I think when, they looked up and they saw this angel and a bunch of angels and all of that, it started off being, I'm scared. And then once they figured out that these angels or this angel had a message from God Almighty to them, then it turned into like, oh, like why would God send a message to me, a shepherd? Some of us were standing here in the hall before Sunday school and we were talking about the fact that what a horrible place for the Son of God to be born. A smelly old stable with a bunch of stinking animals. Now it looks so cute up here. But this doesn't smell like a real manger. Some of us know have worked with animals, and we know what they smell like. And this isn't, it wasn't cute, and it wasn't bright, and it wasn't anything but a stinky, smelly place, very, very unsanitary for a baby to be born. And these shepherds were not the type of people that you would expect God to send a message to. You understand that, And it starts off being afraid, then they were in awe, and they were, I think, honored by the visitation to get that message. In our world, folks, people are, and I believe rightfully so, afraid. And I want to tell you something. The world that we live in, people need to be afraid. People need to be afraid. Why? Well, the Bible tells us that all people in this world in which we live, and all of us included, have sinned. And the Bible tells us that the wages of that sin is death. So people in a lost and dying world spend their entire lives trying to avoid death or even thinking about death. You know, you can't even talk about when somebody dies in our culture, and we can't even say, oh, so-and-so died. What do we say? They passed. Or they did, they went to be with the Lord. Well, they did and everything, but there's nothing wrong. Their physical body died. They just died. And if they're Christian, certainly their soul went to be with Jesus. And I praise God for that. That gives us great hope. But there's, we have nothing as Christians to fear about dying, but the world does. If you don't know Jesus and you die, you need to be afraid of that. but the message that was given to these shepherds and to us and that we're supposed to share is fear not. In Hebrews 2:15 it says he died, Jesus died to rescue all of us who live each day in fear of dying. So many people live in fear of dying. And they don't even want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want anything to do with any of it. But it's a reality. So these angels brought good tidings, it says. Fear not, they said. We bring good tidings. You know what the good tidings are? The gospel. That's what the gospel literally means. Good news. Good tidings. Good news. The gospel is simply this, that we've all sinned and messed up and we're going to die and there's nothing we can do to reconcile ourselves with God. But the good news is that on this cross of Calvary, Jesus did it for us. That's good news because we couldn't. No matter how good you think you are, no matter how wonderful you think you are, you're not good enough. You may be better than me, but I'm nothing. You may be better than the best preacher who ever lived, but he was nothing. She was nothing. The only person you can compare yourself to that might make you be good enough to get to heaven is Jesus Christ. And none of us, I guarantee you, no one in here or no one out there would dare to compare themselves with Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, in all of His goodness and all His perfectedness, chose to die on the cross and replace our sin and our imperfections with His goodness so that we could go to heaven and live eternally. He took our place. And you know what? That's good news. Especially when you think there's nothing else. There's no other way you can do it. There are other religions that tell you, yes, there is, but that's a lie. That's a lie. And they're deceiving people. And what's going to happen is those people who are being deceived are going to be in trouble one of these days. Listen, because, write this down, of this good news, the gospel, we no longer have to fear anything. Once you no longer fear death, you need no longer to fear anything. What is there to fear? You know, again, in Hebrews 13:6, it says, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mortals do to me? Once you have Jesus, there is nothing anyone in this room. Somebody could come in here, you know, and kill every one of us that are Christian. That wouldn't hurt us a bit. Man, it'd be great because we'd all get to, we'd just go to heaven together. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't want you to be in fear of that. But even if you don't need to be in fear of that, because even if it does, it's going to be good. You don't need to fear anything. So like the shepherds, our frightened fear can turn into awe that God loved us enough to die on the cross and save us forever. That's what the birth of Jesus is about. That's it. That's it. And this should bring great joy. If you go back, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The gospel message is a message of great joy. Now, the world currently is trying to turn the gospel message into a hate message. They're trying to say that the gospel message is a hate message because of the gospel message says some people are not going to get saved unless you believe in Jesus. And so you must hate all those people that aren't going to be saved. I don't hate anybody, but I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. Only those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, folks. Will be saved. You know, the word here, joy, literally means calm delight. That's cool, isn't it? I like that, calm delight. When I was a boy, I used to watch my dad at Christmas. Like most little boys, I always looked at my dad. You know, everybody does that, I think. Little boys and girls look at their dad and their mom. And at Christmas, my dad never got a lot. You know, he's like me, my kids and my wife and all. What do you want? Well, I don't know. How many of you men want anything? I mean, you just sit there and you think, I don't know. I got everything. I don't, you know, I don't know. I'll try. I'll start 3 or 4 months ahead of time trying to think of something I can tell them because, you know, I can't think of anything. And so, you know, but my dad was that way. He didn't get a lot. You know, I'd try to get him a screwdriver to replace, you know, the 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 of them Butch I'd lost through the year, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you know, it never could get enough because, I mean, you could get him 100 of them. And, you know, between my brother and I, we lost a bunch of them, you know. And so, but Dad would just sit there and he'd just smile, you know, and it was just so neat, you know. He was thankful for what he got, but he never just got up and jumped up and down for what he got. You know, I don't know. He would sit there with a look of pure joy as he watched his children open their gifts. And later when I was growing up, I asked him about that before I got married, and I didn't understand it even then. And quite frankly, I was kind of embarrassed because I never got him anything because, you know, I owed him a lot. And you know, and even after we grew up, he didn't want anything, so I'd get him a shirt or something like that. And, you know, after he died, we found most of them still in in his drawer. He never even wore them because he lived out in the country and he didn't want to get them dirty or whatever. But
he's told me the greatest joy he had was to watch us kids open the presents. And that was the look on his face, that joy, that calm delight. And that's what Jesus gives us as Christians. We can be calm. We can be delighted. We can have joy no matter what, because no matter what's going on in our lives, it's only temporary anyway, isn't it? Everything's going on in your life you think are so important, it's just temporary. Soon we're going to be with Jesus in eternity. Now, I have to admit, I know you people, and most of y'all are very organized at Christmas, and here's what you do at Christmas. You get ready to open presents, and you take turns going around reading the Christmas story. And the kids, they're so respectful, and they're sitting there listening to the Christmas story. And then one by one, you open the 50 presents each of them have, and, oh, just talk about each present. How many, y'all are smiling. Is that what happens? You start off that way, don't you? Yeah. You don't torture your kids. Read John 3:16 and open the presents. Because it's miserable. They're sitting there and you're just like, oh, particularly little kids. They don't want to, you know, they've heard it. Well, anyway, so you do that and then it's chaos. Am I right? It's total chaos. That describes our lives. Total chaos. Meanwhile, God's sitting over here calmly watching us, just enjoying us and thinking, you know, oh, that's my little girl over there. Look at what she's opening. I love that. There's my boy. He's over there over the screaming the same time. And my other girl's over there upset because she got underwear. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, you just over and over and you're just sitting there, you know. And it's just, and God's just sitting there. And, you know, it's wonderful. And folks, we can learn from that because we can be calm and we can have joy no matter what the chaos is around us. We need to understand that. We need to understand that. That's what God has for us as Christians. Now, the last point, I read this in the King James, but it's a matter of definitely misinterpretation here. In fact, I sometimes wonder what they were thinking when they translated this last little part here, which shall be to all people. You know, it's kind of misleading. It really is, it means to men with whom God is pleased. And why would it say that? Because, you know, think about this. Is the birth of Jesus good news to all people? We have to think about that. I don't think it is. I think it's definitely good news for those who have accepted Him as their Savior. But what about those who reject Jesus? Will it be good news for those folks when they stand before God on Judgment Day and God casts them into hell for eternity? I think that the birth of Jesus is good news for those whom God has pleased. Christians, you know, I think so. But there are two groups of people who are going to have some problems with the birth of Jesus one day. One of them is that group I just mentioned, those who reject Him. Our society rejects Jesus. You can't mention the name of Jesus on TV, you know. And we talk to people and, oh, you know, we watch the little Christmas movies and now Christmas is all about family. I don't have anything against family. I love family. Love my family. But that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, or don't call it Christmas. Call it Familymas. Am I right? If it's not about Jesus, let's call it whatever it is. Familymas, whatever. It's about Jesus. And the world doesn't like that, so they're taking away. And here's the problem, folks. Those people who reject Him, some of you perhaps are even here and you have heard the gospel again and again and again and again and again, and you continue to reject it, continue to reject it, and continue to reject it. And one day, if you continue to reject it, it will be too late. And that's not going to be good for you. The other group are those who have been playing, write that down, playing the church game. You know what I'm talking about. You come to church regularly, you participate regularly, you teach, you lead in worship, you go on mission trips, you do all of this stuff, you do. But it's a sham. And one day you too will stand before God. Jesus talked about you. He said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now let me stop there. We'll continue in a minute. But think about that. What is God's will? For you to be saved. And if you come to know him as your Savior, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, preached in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's basically sending them to hell. That's not going to be good for them. That's not going to be a good day. Doesn't sound like good news to them. So our invitation is this, guys, look. Make the birth of Jesus good news by truly accepting him as your Savior. Make it good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why he was born. You know, if he was born and lived a perfect life, and then in the garden he just said, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I'm not going to go to the cross." Then we wouldn't be celebrating the birth of Christmas. Birth of Christmas. We wouldn't be celebrating his birth. We wouldn't be doing anything. None of us would be going to heaven. You know, probably God would have just at that point destroyed the world, because why keep on going? Because, you know, there was no way for anyone to be saved. But he did. And he invites you to come to him in belief and faith. Turn from your wicked ways and turn to Jesus. Make the birth of Jesus good news by accepting him. And Christian, if you want to honor the baby Jesus this Christmas and forever, be an angel. Everybody says, "Oh, my little angel. Bradley, you're my little angel." He is. He's a preacher. Preachers are messengers, angels. I mean, we get this idea of angels are a little cute little thing that fly around naked. That's not what an angel is. An angel is a messenger, and that's what we all are. We all need to be messengers to share the good news. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes we're not doing too well with that, and we need to consider that, particularly as we begin a new year. So I encourage you, as we have this time of invitation, first of all, if you don't know that you're a Christian, you need to take care of that. Because one day, we can get all mushy and teary-eyed and watch Hallmark movies and eat and do all of that stuff. But it's not, and that's all fine and good. I don't have a bit of trouble with that. Nobody likes to eat better than I do. Nobody likes Hallmark movies better than, I can't say that, but anyway, yeah, you know what I'm saying. I do. I watch one a day. I have to. But look, there's nothing wrong with any of that, but that's really not going to save you. That's really not what's going to do it. And one day, if you keep rejecting Jesus, and folks, I have had men and women in their 60s, 70s, and yes, even 80s. The last guy that did that came down, said to rededicate his life, and he came down and he cried, and he says, "I need to get saved. I don't need to rededicate my life. I need to get saved." And he accepted the Lord, and he had been teaching Sunday schools for years. He got saved, I baptized him, and probably a month later he was gone. And folks, it wouldn't have mattered how many years he taught Sunday school if he hadn't come down there and gotten saved. Don't let your pride keep you away from Jesus. And Christian, let's begin to take seriously the fact that we are angels and we are supposed to be spreading the gospel message. We're going to sing Joy to the World as our invitation song, but first let's have prayer. Father, as we come and as we